ಓಂ ಅಜ್ಞಾನತಿಮಿರಾಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನಶಲಾಕಯಾ ಚಕ್ಷುಃ ಉನ್ಮೀಲಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ. ಶ್ರೀಚೈತನ್ಯಮನೋಭೀಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೇ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪ ಕದಾ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ದದಾತಿ ಸ್ವಪದಾಂತಿಕಂ. ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರೋಃ ಶ್ರೀಯುತಪದಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರೂನ್ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಂಶ್ಚ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಂ ಸಾಗ್ರಜಾತಂ ಸಹಗಣರಘುನಾಥಾನ್ವಿತಂ ತಂ ಸಜೀವಂ ಸಾದ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನಾಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಚೈತನ್ಯದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾಕೃಷ್ಣಪಾದಾನ್ ಸಹಗಣಲಲಿತಾ ಶ್ರೀವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಾಂಶ್ಚ. ನಮೋ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರೇಷ್ಠಾಯ ಭೂತಲೇ ಶ್ರೀಮತೇ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿತಿ ನಾಮಿನೇ. ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸಾರಸ್ವತೇ ದೇವೇ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೇ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯದೇಶತಾರಿಣೇ. ನಮೋ ಮಹಾವದನ್ಯಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರೇಮಪ್ರದಾಯತೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ನಾಮ್ನೇ ಗೌರತ್ವಿಷೇ ನಮಃ. ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧೋ ದೀನಬಂಧೋ ಜಗತ್ಪತೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾ ಕಾಂತ ರಾಧಾ ಕಾಂತ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೆ. ತಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗಿ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನುಸುತೆ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿ ಪ್ರಿಯೇ. ವಾಂಚಾಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯ ಏವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವೀಂ ಸರಸ್ವತೀಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಯಮುದೀರಯೇ ನಷ್ಟಪ್ರಾಯೇಷ್ವ ಭದ್ರೇಷು ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಭಾಗವತ ಸೇವಯಾ ಭಗವತ್ಯುತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೇ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತಿ ನೈಷ್ಠಿಕಿ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ದೇವಕೀ ನಂದನಾಯ ಚ ನಂದಗೋಪಕುಮಾರಾಯ ಗೋವಿಂದಾಯ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಸೊ ವೆಲ್ಕಮ್ ಆಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಯು ಟು ದಿಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ರಸಾಯನ. ಯು ಆಲ್ ನೋ ದಿಸ್ ಸುಬೋಧಿನಿ ಗೈಡ್ ಪಬ್ಲಿಷ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ದ ಗೋವರ್ಧನ್ ಎಕೋ ವಿಲೇಜ್ ಗೌರಂಗ್ ದರ್ಶನ್ ಪ್ರಭು. ಸೊ ಇಫ್ ಯು ಡೋಂಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಇಟ್ ಯು ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಗೆಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಅವರ್ ಗಿಫ್ಟ್ ಸ್ಟಾಲ್. ಇಟ್ಸ್ ವೆರಿ ಹೆಲ್ಪ್ಫುಲ್ ಟು ಗೆಟ್ ಅ ಕ್ವಿಕ್ ಗ್ರಾಸ್ಪ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಹೋಲ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್. ಟುಡೇ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಟು ರೀಡ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಎ ಸಿಂಗಲ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಅಂಡ್ ವಿ ಮೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ವಿಲಿಂಗ್ ವಿ ಮೇ ಫಿನಿಶ್ ಇಟ್ ಇನ್ ಒನ್ ಸಿಟಿಂಗ್. 18th ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಆಫ್ ದ 6th ಕ್ಯಾಂಟು ದಿತಿ ವಾಸ್ ಟು ಕಿಲ್ ಇಂದ್ರ. ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಇನ್ ಆನ್ ದ ಫಸ್ಟ್ 19 ವರ್ಸಸ್ ಆರ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬಿಂಗ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದ ದಿತಿಸ್ ಡಿಸೆಂಡೆಂಟ್ಸ್. ಅದಿತಿ ಅಂಡ್ ದಿತಿ, ಹೂ ಆರ್ ದ ಡಿಸೆಂಡೆಂಟ್ಸ್, ಜಸ್ಟ್ ನೇಮ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಗಿವನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದರ್ ಫ್ಯಾಮಿಲಿ ಲಿನಿಯೇಜ್. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ 20-31 ಪರೀಕ್ಷಿತ್ ಇಸ್ ಕ್ವೆಶ್ಚನಿಂಗ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದ ಮರುತ್ಸ್. Therefore, I will read only that one verse which Parikshit was listening very attentively. And immediately cut, he will put a break, sudden break he will put and ask a question about Maruts. And Diti service to Kashyapa. So 20 to 31 is that. So first 20 verses on descendants' names, which we may not read. You can read at your home. But the last verse in that first section I will read. And then another 10 verses Parikshit is questioning about Maruts. And then another next 10 verses, 32 to 43, Diti is developing a peculiar desire to kill Indra. And her behavior with Kashyapa, and how Kashyapa reflected in his mind about Diti. And then another 10 verses about Kashyapa instructing Diti in the Pumsavarna vow. You will understand why the Pumsavarna vow was given to her, you will see. And then another 10 verses talk about the births of the Maruts, how the Maruts are children of Diti. Amazingly, as Shukadeva Goswami says, that Diti is the mother of demons, but Maruts were all demigods. Like that he said. So hearing this, Parikshit was stunned. He immediately put a stop and said, how can a mother of the demons produce demigods? So he will ask that question. So you will come to know how. And then 65 to 67, there's a glorification about the benefits we all derive by worshipping the Supreme Lord. And then last part, 10 verses on honest discussion between Diti and Indra. So I'll be speeding through certain sections and dwelling on certain sections depending on their importance, so that lessons to be learned from this chapter are very important, and we will dwell on them, and other sections we will go fast. So the first section, as I told you, they are all names only, 1 to 19, we will skip them. And we will go to the 19th verse directly. So, as he was going on telling about the Diti's descendants, here in the 19th verse, Shukadeva Goswami is saying here, Marutascha Dite Putraha Chatvarimshan Navadikaha Taasan Aprajasarve Nita Indrena Satmatam. Translation. The 49 Marut demigods were also born from the womb of Diti. None of them had sons, although they were born of Diti, King Indra gave them a position of as demigods. So this is a very peculiar information. Mother is a mother of the demons and she is producing demigods. So you can see how alert and attentive Parikshit Maharaj is. This is one thing we can learn when we are hearing any particular lecture. One time, one speaker in Mayapur, he was giving a seminar to us. So he was telling about the tortoise, you know. The example of tortoise is given by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. So the example of tortoise is given for what purpose? For it withdraws the limbs of the body inside the shell when there is a danger. When there is no danger, it brings the limbs out. Similarly, a devotee of the Lord, when he comes to temple, he can keep his eyes wide open to take the darshan of the Lord. You can keep your mouth wide open to put the prasadam. Isn't it? You can use your legs to dance. You can use your hands to raise and express your surrender and all that. But when one is wandering in the outside world, there are so many improper things, inauspicious things we come across. You see a dirty poster, you have to mind your eyes. So he told all of us that when I say Maya, you have to do like this. When I say Krishna, you have to do like this. So like that he was telling. Of course, he was telling Maya, Krishna, Maya, Krishna was telling. So then he said, Maya, everybody did like this. So then he told, now I was checking how alert all of you are. Like that he was telling. So sometimes we are not very alert. We do commit mistakes in this world. So while hearing a lecture, we all have experience that for some portion of the time of the lecture, our mind goes elsewhere. And then when you see other people loudly laughing, again the mind comes back. Then you ask your neighbor, what was the joke? Huh? Correct, no? So mind has a tendency to go. Therefore Krishna says, yato yato nishchalati manaschanchalam astiram tatastato niyamyetat atmaniye vasham nayet. He says, huh? As the mind goes away, immediately bring it back. Again it goes away, bring it back. Just like we do in chanting. Same thing we have to do in lecture also. When mind wanders, we have to bring it back to the subject in hand. But Parikshit was so alert and attentive, even for a moment, his mind wouldn't go anywhere else. He was very alert. And what is the proof? See the next verse. Shri Rajovacha Katam Ta Asuram Bhavam Apohya Utpattikam Guru Indreena prapta indreena prapita satmyam kim tat sadu kritam hitaihi. Yeah.
King Parikshit inquired, my dear lord, due to their birth, the 49 maruts must have been obsessed with a demoniac mentality. Why did Indra, the king of heaven, convert them into demigods? Did they perform any rituals or pious activities?
This is an intelligent question. One thing here, Parikshit is assuming that all the children born to Diti are already demons, and Indra must have done some preaching to them, maybe given the holy name or something, by which he made them into devotees. Just like Narada, you know, preached to Prahlad, the womb of Kayadu, and he converted the child born in a demon family into a devotee. Isn't it? Our Lord Vamanadeva interfered with Bali and touched Bali's head with his foot and made him into a devotee. Like that, this Diti also must have got demoniac children, and then they were transformed into demigods by Indra by some mechanism. Like that he thought. Who? Our Parikshit. Therefore he's asking, how are you saying that the children born of Diti, they got a position as demigods? So he's surprised. And the next verse he's saying, my dear Brahmana, I and all the sages present with me are eager to know about this. Therefore, O great soul, kindly explain to us the reason. He's telling. So, now Suta Goswami is going to tell the pastime now to the Shaunakadi Rishis. Shri Suta Uvacha Tad Vishnu Ratasya Sabada Rayaner Vacho Nisham Yadritam Alpamartavat Sabhajayansan Nibritena Chetasa Jagadasatrayana Sarva Darshanaha.
Shri Suta Goswami said, O great sage Shaunaka, after hearing Maharaj Parikshit speak respectfully and briefly on the topics essential to hear, Shukdev Goswami, who was well aware of everything, praised his endeavor with great pleasure and replied.
So here it is mentioned, after hearing Maharaj Parikshit speak respectfully and briefly on the topics essential to hear, he is saying, if you see the Sanskrit words, adritam, alpam, artavat, three words are used in second line. Vacho, nishamya, after hearing from Shukadeva Goswami, Parikshit responded in three ways. Adrita means he was very respectful to Shukadeva Goswami. Why is he saying respectful? He didn't tell Shukadeva Goswami, what? You are saying Diti's sons became demigods? I think you committed a mistake because you are tired or something. Or you are little inattentive or careless. No, he understood that Shukadeva Goswami cannot be wrong. Therefore, he respectfully asked, how did the Diti sons become like demigods? Can you please tell me? And then Alpam means he asked this question very briefly. He didn't, one time when I was asking a question, I spoke almost 12 to 15 sentences. So my spiritual master said, it is more than a lecture than a question. He said, so is it a comment or is it a question? He asked. I said, Maharaj, it's a question. He said, can you tell me only the question part? He said. Then I told my question. So generally, when we ask a question, it should be alpam, brief, he's telling. Then he's saying, artavat, it should be meaningful question. It cannot be absurd question. Somebody asked Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji, you said Krishna had 16,108 wives and they all had each one a palace. In those days, what was the sewage system? He asked her. And Prabhupada said, absurd question, he said. And then he said, next question, he said. Which is considered absurd question? That question which cannot bring us close to Krishna is considered absurd question. Some question where you want some material information. One man asked Prabhupada a question. Swamiji, do you know how many windows are there in that big bungalow? So there seem to be hundreds of windows. And then Prabhupada understood why is he asking this question. Because that fellow wanted to prove that Swamiji, you all say, is a pure devotee, but he cannot exactly give the count of the windows. How many are in this building? So Prabhupada, instead of telling the number of windows, you know what he said? He said, it is like asking how many droplets of water are there in a mirage. He said, because the material world is like a mirage. How many droplets of water are there in a mirage? Who cares? Yeah, pure devotees. Focus is only spiritual world. So don't ask absurd question, Prabhupada said. So we should ask questions that are arthavat. Arthavat means full of meaning. And also when we ask a speaker any question, we should ask with the intention of progressing in spiritual life, in our own spiritual life. We should not try to ask a question to test the memory power of a speaker, or we should not ask questions to prove how great we are. Such questions are improper. Therefore, here you find he is asking proper question. Adritam, respectful. Alpam, brief. Arthavat, meaningful. He is asking question. Read the purport, Prabhu. Somebody.
Purport. Maharaj Parikshit's question was very much appreciated by Shukdev Goswami because although it was composed of a small number of words, it contained meaningful inquiries about how the sons of Diti, although born as demons, became demigods. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur stresses that even though Diti was very envious, her heart was purified because of a devotional attitude. Another significant topic is that although Kashyap Muni was a learned scholar and was advanced in spiritual consciousness, he nonetheless fell a victim to the inducement of his beautiful wife. All these questions were posed in a small number of words, and therefore Shukdev Goswami very much appreciated Maharaj Parikshit's inquiry.
Yeah. Shukdev Goswami appreciated why? Because Parikshit is giving Shukdev Goswami a chance to glorify the Lord and glorify devotional service. So therefore, even when we all ask questions, our questions should be pertinent and should help the speaker to expand on the subject in a way that sadhana bhaktas will get help. We should not just ask questions for the sake of information. So, Prabhupada, in summary, he gives three things in this purport. How the sons of Diti, although born as demons, became demigods. How the envious Diti became non-envious through devotional service. And how Kashyapa Muni, though a learned scholar, became victim to a beautiful wife. So three things are taught in this lesson. Prabhupada gives a summary in this one purport itself. So till now we have learnt about Parikshit's attitude. The first one I told you was alertness, attentiveness while hearing the lecture. So he asked the appropriate question. Then we learnt about Parikshit's respectful attitude, adrita. And also he asked a brief question, alpam. And also he asked a meaningful question, arthavat. So we proceed to 23rd verse. Shri Shuka Uvacha Hataputra Ditishakra Parshni Grahena Vishnuna Manyuna Shoka Deeptena Jvalanti Paryachintayat. See, it is mentioned here. Hataputra means her two sons were killed by Indra. Who are the two sons? Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Shakra means Indra. Did Indra kill Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha? Who killed? Hiranyaksha was killed by Varahadev. Hiranyakashipu was killed by Narasimha. She is not quoting their name. She is telling Hataputra Shakra. She is saying. Killed by Indra, she is telling. Why? Why is she saying Indra killed my two sons? See, for example, in a home, say there are two children at home and the mother is in the kitchen. So one child is a younger child, So his toys are, you know, stolen by the elder child, for example, snatched away. Then the younger child naturally goes to mother and complains. And the mother comes to the hall and gives a slap to the bigger child, takes the toys and gives it to the younger child, correct? No? Now again mother goes back to kitchen. Now the elder child is angry on whom? On mother? No, on the younger child. Why? The younger child went and complained, correct? No? Similarly, Indra went and complained that this Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu are creating trouble. And then Vishnu came as Narasimha, Varaha, and finished these two fellows. So now Diti's anger went towards whom? Indra. See, it is also seen in this world. Even sometimes we have seen amongst devotees also, if one devotee complains about another devotee to authorities, the another devotee becomes so angry on this devotee, why did you go to the authorities? Why didn't you come to me? And that devotee says, Prabhuji, I came to you several times, you didn't take any action, therefore I went to authority. They say, still they feel very angry. You complained about me to authority, so my good reputation is spoiled in the eyes of the authorities. Now I have to repair it now. So, especially, and that too, if matters come to me, my God, people feel very bad. Because I'm president here, so people feel that why such a small matters have to be taken to the president. It should be sorted at the local level. People feel that. Of course, I'm not curious to know who is doing what. At that level, it can be sorted out. But people generally want to be in the good books of senior people, correct? No? So they feel extremely pained when report is taken. Similarly, Diti is feeling very bad that this Indra, he has to be taken to task. Because he is the fellow who complained to Lord Vishnu. Otherwise, Vishnu is a good person. He is just lying in Anantashesh, peacefully with semi-closed eyes, he is always smiling happily. And he is the father of, you know, demigods and demons, both. We have no issues with him. In fact, even when she came to know that Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu will be killed by Vishnu, she felt very happy, actually. Because those who are killed by Vishnu will be liberated, you know. Diti had no issues at all with Vishnu. But her problem was with Indra. Therefore, here she is telling, Ataputra Diti Shakra Parshni Grahnena Grahena Vishnuna. She is telling that Vishnu has helped Indra by destroying my sons. So in this way, Diti became afflicted with lamentation and anger. Otherwise Manyuna means anger. Shoka Diptena means afflicted with Shoka. And because of that, result is what happened. Jvalanti. She was burning. Jvalanti. Pariyachintayat. In her thoughts, she was constantly burning. See, in this world, some living beings are peaceful and the other living beings are disturbed. So, in case we have become a source of disturbance to others, or we have been the source of disturbance to others, like we cause some pain to others and they are burning in their heart, definitely we should try to pacify them to a level best. Unnecessarily we should not trouble other living beings. One time, Srila Prabhupada went with disciples to some place. There was a zoo on the way. So there was a lion inside the zoo. So one of the devotees was doing some meddling with the lion, because he knew a lion cannot come out. It was inside the cage. So he was like irritating the lion. And the lion was becoming a little angry. Like it was showing like this. He was joking with the lion. And Prabhupada said, don't do that. This is a king of the forest. Poor fellow, now he is behind the bars. Just because he is behind the bars, you can't unnecessarily irritate this poor animal. Similarly, Prabhupada said, all the jivatmas are very powerful. But right now they are trapped in the material body, although they are very powerful. So one should not unnecessarily disturb them. You see, Suruchi unnecessarily disturbed Dhruva. Later on she got into trouble. So unnecessarily we should not disturb other living beings. In case we disturbed somebody, we definitely have to say sorry to them. Lord Rama once saw in the Ramayana we read, all the sages told Ram that he want to vacate this jungle and go to the next jungle and to meet Bharadwaja Muni, they said. And they said that, and Rama was thinking, oh, you all want to leave me and go? Probably I did some disturbance to you, he said. So, and sages said, how can you be a disturbance, Ram? In fact, we all seek your company. Now we are going to perform a yajna for which you have been called by Bharadvaja Muni. Otherwise, we would never want to be separated from you even for a moment, they said. So they all went to the next forest. And Ram stayed alone with Lakshman. And just prior to that, Bharat had come to meet Ram. So those impressions were in Ram's mind. Bharat coming, weeping tears, asking him to come back to Ayodhya, and all the Ayodhyavasis crying. They were all surrounding Ram's mind. And then they all had gone back. And the horses had passed tool. So those were also lying there, smell was coming. And Ram immediately told Lakshman, let us also proceed to another jungle. If I remain here, I will develop some attachment to Ayodhya, an attachment to Bharat, and I will not be able to fulfill my duties for which I have come to the jungle. So he also moved. But in this particular scene, you find how Lord Rama was sensitive to the sages, not to create disturbance. But here, this is a situation where here is a lady whose heart is burning, whose heart is disturbed. A disturbed person is not going to keep quiet. We should know one thing, we can irritate others, we can trouble others, we can ridicule others, and we can't go scot-free. They will chase after us. They are not going to leave. You throw a ball on the wall, it's going to come back. So therefore, whenever we see unknowingly or knowingly somebody is disturbed by us, we should find out how it can be set right. What can we do to seek apologies or to find out what can be done? A person having a burning heart is like a radioactive element. It's sending out emissions which are unfavorable. Therefore, Diti's heart is overwhelmed with lamentation now, and she is contemplating now. Let us see what she is contemplating. Because a person whose heart is burning is surely going to contemplate something very dangerous. Like you all know, when King Chitraketu, in the previous sections we all have read, see, when Chitraketu paid attention to Kritadyuti and his son Harshashoka, they three became like one unit. Me, my wife and my child, and all the other co-wives, he forgot them. He went into a little world and he started giving attention. And then all the co-wives are burning in their heart. They were all thinking, look at us. We don't even look like servant maids. We look like the servant maids of the servant maid of Kritadyuti. Like that they were burning. If they were Vaishnavis, they would have thought, we are servant of the servant of the servant. No problem. Isn't it? But they were not. So they were actually lamenting. See the treatment we are getting. So this is one great challenge for seniors. If you are a president, if you are a HOD, if you are a counselor, if you are a teacher, if you have favorites, you will certainly have trouble also. If you like, I used to very innocently glorify some devotee taking the name in those days. Then the other people feel, what about me? You glorified that fellow. I did even better than him. And you didn't quote my name. That means you are envious of me. Like that they think. So we used to have, in those days, a birthday festival. You know, of course, birthday festival is a day when for each devotee, almost 3 minutes we glorify. Two, three devotees, one minute they glorify each devotee. So I was glorifying one devotee. So the devotee sitting next to him thought that I don't like him because I glorified A devotee. So B became offended. So how many of you understand what I am saying? It's possible or not? What do you think? Yeah, very much possible in this world. If you show, then you may say, let us be equal to all. But then naturally you feel affinity for some, correct, in this world. So therefore certain things have to be confidentially kept. You may privately appreciate somebody. Very good. You are a wonderful devotee. But in public you say, you can be in trouble. So especially for spiritual master to do, it's even more dangerous. Some people will cry, spiritual master never took my name, he took her name or his name or something. So here Diti is feeling that this Indra is always a favorite of Vishnu. And this fellow went and complained, and Vishnu took it seriously and killed my two sons. Now, as long as this Indra is there, I cannot live in peace. Like that she thought. Kadanuvat, kadanu bratrihantaram, indriyarama bulmadam, aklidna hridayam papam, gatayitva shaye sukham. See, kadanu bratrihantaram. She is saying, when will this indriyarama, the Indra, who is an indriyarama, one who is always fond of sense gratification, and who is bratrihantaram, he has killed his own brothers, she is telling. Why? Because Indra is born of Aditi, and Hiranyaksha Hiranyakashipu are born of Diti. So they both are cousin brothers in that way. So he has killed his own brothers, she is telling. And then Ulbanam, means cruelly he has killed his two cousin brothers. And she says, Aklidna Hridayam, hard-hearted fellow, papam, sinful fellow. Gatayitva Shayesukam, only after killing him will I be able to be peaceful. That's what she's telling. Once if Indra is not killed like the way he killed Hiranyaksha Hiranyakashipu through Vishnu, if Indra is finished, then only I can rest in peace. Like that she said. You see, for a mother, her children may be, no matter how naughty they may be, but for a mother, her children are most special. Like for a crow, in Tamil we have a saying, Kakai Kutan Konja Pon Konja, which means for a crow, the baby crow is the most beautiful creature in the whole world. But you look at a baby crow, it looks so like ugly duckling, we say, na? It looks so ugly. But for a mother, the baby crow is the greatest beauty in the whole world. And that's what every creature thinks. Dog thinks puppies are the most beautiful. Cat thinks kittens are the most beautiful. Similarly, when Hiranyaksha Hiranyakashipu were born, Diti thought, oh, these are the most beautiful children. Although you all know, they were spreading, you know, heat and smoke. So much so all demigods went to Brahma, Brahmaloka. And Brahma told them, don't worry, these are two demons. They have not yet come out of the womb of their mother. Before coming only, they are creating so much trouble. After they come out, you don't know what they will do in this world. So, but Mother Diti doesn't realize that. She is thinking, okay, I agree that they are little naughty fellows, but not that bad, she is thinking. Therefore, you will find the mother's attachment to child, the blind attachment to child makes the mother think that the child has no problem. Even if somebody else tells the child has some problem, she thinks they are envious of the child. She thinks like that. Therefore, in the Vedic times, the mothers would hand over the child to the guru in the Gurukula. And the child will not go to home ordinarily. After a long time, only he may visit home. Whole idea is, the mother should empower the teachers to raise the child properly, with discipline, you know, with a good character, good behavior and all that. If the mothers and fathers interfere with the teacher, then the child's character cannot grow. Because the child will tend to think, I will do naughty things and if trouble comes, I will call the mother and teacher will get a good dose from my mother. Children will think like that, isn't it? Therefore, running a BMS is not very easy. Bhaktivedanta, the model school, of course, there are wonderful teachers, but they have to satisfy the parents, they have to satisfy the children, they have to satisfy their authorities. So the teachers have to be very exalted, the BMS teachers, for them, because they have to be such Vaishnavis and Vaishnavas that they'll be able to satisfy all the people. Because people with blind attachment can be unreasonable in their demands. Here, Diti is an example of blind attachment to her sons. And she is unreasonably wanting to destroy Indra. One amazing fact you will see in demigods. The demigods will never encroach on demons' property. You will not hear about it anywhere. But the demons will always encroach on demigods' property. Like Bali Maharaj took over Indra Loka. But you will never find Indra going to demoniac demons area and attacking them. You will never hear that. And when Vamanadeva came, what did he do? He just took from Bali Maharaj, Indra's kingdom, and gave it back to Indra. Is it wrong? Like imagine, if two children, mother has given one child a tricycle, another child a teddy bear or something. If one child has snatched both the toys, is it wrong for the mother to take one of the two toys and give it to the other child? Other child also deserves a toy. Similarly, Lord Vamanadev thought Indra deserves his loka. Give back his loka. And he told demons, you rule your area and Indra can rule his. Similarly, God has given British people, hey, you rule Britain. Indians can rule India. But British people say, we will come to India and take over India. Alexander also went all over the world. The desire to encroach is there in demoniac people, isn't it? So, therefore, Diti's argument is unreasonable. She is telling that Indra is cruel, is hard-hearted, is sinful, he is fond of sense gratification. Like that, she is name-calling him with various things. Is that really true? Indra actually wanted his kingdom back. Therefore, he reported to Vishnu. So his desire to rule his own kingdom, there's nothing wrong in that, you see. So when one becomes envious, blindly attached to one's sons, and developing envious and envious attitude and enmity with Indra, then these kind of thoughts arise. Therefore, one of the things that we all can do, when we get such thoughts like this, we can go to one of our good friends and ask, these are thoughts coming in my mind, what do you feel, Prabhu? Or we can ask our superior, such thoughts are coming in my mind about that person. He is cruel, hard-hearted, sinful, fond of sense gratification. Is that really true? Imagine if Diti consulted Aditi or she consulted Lord Vishnu, they would have surely told her, Diti, don't think like this. Indra got his quota and your sons had their quota, but your sons encroached on Indra's quota, so they got killed. Like Ravana encroached on Lord Ram's wife, so he got killed. That was whose mistake? Ravana's mistake, isn't it? Simple thing. Somebody who can see outside of us can tell us when we are blindly attached, because attachment makes us blind. Pride makes us blind. Wealth makes us blind. High birth makes us blind. High qualification or continuous success makes us blind. Being a specialist in some field makes us blind. So whenever we have become blind, we need somebody above us who can see properly and tell us that, Prabhu, you have to give up this. It's not good for you. So, our poor Diti has nobody. Of course, she had Kashyapa. She could have consulted Kashyapa. But Diti is not going to Kashyapa in the mood of... she is not going in the mood of getting help from Kashyapa. That's the problem. That's the problem. She is going to Kashyapa in the mood of informing, rather manipulating Kashyapa. We should never manipulate our superiors. Sometimes we think I can manipulate my superior and get what I want as per my will and wish. Because we have made up our mind that this is what I want. Like sometimes a girl goes and tells the parents that, Mom, I'm already 23. You know, for Papa and you have not chosen a boy for me. I am very worried. And Mom will say, no, don't worry, my child. In another 2 months, we will fix. And then the girl will ask, what if I can find one myself and suggest? And then the daughter is testing the pulse. And the mom says, we don't mind if you are suggesting, but you have to talk to your father also. Personally, for me, it's all right. I'll check with your father. And the mother is checking with the father. If daughter has seen a boy and she likes, what do you say? The father says, no problem, as long as caste is matching. If the boy is in our caste. And the girl is asking, what if the boy is not of that caste also? He's from another caste. Then what? The father says, oh, all our relatives will ask this, that, so many things. And they are saying, no, we should not go for it. Then the daughter says, no, I just want to inform you. We have registered the marriage already. Like that she says, boom, she puts a bomb. Then both mother and father, their faces become small. Our child has gone against us. She never ever told us. Like this, now she's putting a bomb. So that means the girl is informing the parents. She is not consulting the parents. She is not seeking advice from the parents. So she has broken the parents' heart. Similarly, here you will find Diti should ideally consult the husband and ask her husband, my heart is burning. Like in the previous verse it is said, Jvalanti Pariyachintayat, I am very much in anxiety. Please tell me what I should do. Then the husband will say, like Suruchi Suniti episode, Sir, Suniti told her son Dhruva. Dhruva went and told Suniti, my heart is burning, I am crying, what I should do, mother? Very honestly he said. Then Suniti gave him advice by which Dhruva saw Vishnu and attained all perfection and gave up his envy for Suruchi. And then he offered namaskar to Suruchi when he returned back. Diti also could have done that. Did she do that? She didn't do that. Rather, she manipulated her superior. And how she did the manipulation comes in the following verses. See what she is saying. Krimi vidbhasma sanyasit yasyesha yasyesha vihitasya cha bhutadruk tatkrite swartham kim veda nirayo yatah.
When dead, the bodies of all the rulers, known as kings and great leaders, will be transformed into worms, stool or ashes. If one enviously kills others for the production of such a body, does he actually know the true interest of life? Certainly, he does not. For if one is envious of other living entities, he surely goes to hell.
She is telling about whom? Indra. Does it not apply to her? Correct, no? Can you not apply the same thing to her? See, now read the verse again, translation. Now you apply it on Diti and see whether it works.
When dead, the bodies of all the rulers known as kings and great leaders will be transformed into worms, tools or ashes.
This is applicable to Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu also. Correct, no? And then?
If one enviously kills others.
That means if Diti enviously kills Indra, like that you can decode it. If Diti enviously kills Indra, then?
Enviously kills others for the production of such a body, does he actually know the true interest of life?
Does Diti know the true interest of life properly? Correct, no?
Certainly, he does not. For if one is envious of other living entities, he surely goes to hell.
If Diti is envious of Indra, she will surely go to hell. But what I am decoding, I can do because Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu are not my sons. Correct, no? Therefore, I can decode it very easily. This is the problem in this world. When we have a problem, somebody outside us have to tell us about it. Otherwise, we ourselves are not able to understand it due to our blindness. Like one fellow was giving a lecture. He said, what is there in this world? We all are going to leave everything and go with empty hands after death. He said, if you have two cars, give one car to others. If you have two cycles, give one cycle to others. What is so great about it? Like that he said. And one man in the audience asked, sir, if I have two cows, what we should do? Then the speaker said, sorry, that I cannot say, he said. And later on, after the lecture was over, somebody asked this man, such a simple question, you could have answered it easily. If you have two cows, give one to others, you could have said. But the speaker said, the problem is I have two cows, he said. That's the problem. If I say, then I will have to give one of my cows in charity, he said. So, in this world, it's very easy to point fingers to others' problems. When it comes to our own problem, we cannot see. She is telling Indra is envious of Hiranyakashipu Hiranyaksha. She says Indra will go to hell. Indra has lost the true goal of life. But these things will happen to her too if she is harboring such a malice for the other living entities. Isn't it? Now, in the same manner, she is saying in the 26th verse, third line, Madashoshaka Indrasya Bhuyat Yena Sutohime. Like that she is saying, Madashoshaka, to remove the madness, Indrasya. Now Indra is very intoxicated in success. He has killed my two sons through Vishnu. Now just wait and watch what I will do. Bhuyat Yena Sutohime. I will actually, she is saying, thinking like this, with unrest, she is saying, Unnadda Chetasaha. She is telling that Indra is thinking his body is eternal, therefore he has become unrestrained, and I want to have a son who will destroy the pride of Indra. Like that she is thinking. इति भावेन साभर्तुर् आचचारासकृत्प्रियम् शुश्रूषयानुरागेण प्रश्रयेण दमेन च भक्त्या परमया राजा मनोज्ञैर्वल्गुभाषितैः मनोजग्राहभावज्ञा सस्मितापाङ्गवीक्षणैः इति भावेन टेकिङ्ग् दिस् मेण्टालिटि वाट् मेण्टालिटि अण्ड् हर् मेण्टालिटि दट् इन्द्रा इस् म्याड् इन्द्रा हेस् बिकम् उन्नद्धचेतस मीन्स् इस् वेरि प्रौड् He has become intoxicated after having killed my sons. And he is very merciless, he is cruel, he is hard-hearted, he is envious and all that she said. So I will beget a son who will become an enemy of Indra and who will destroy Indra. Then only I can rest in peace. Iti bhavena. Taking this bhav, this manobhav, she took it. And with this bhav, what she did? Sa bartuhu, she came to her protector, husband. And then after that what she did asakrit it is said asakrit means continuously without stopping and how she did service shushrushaya she rendered seva how she did render service to him many words are used priyam she performed activities in a very pleasing way anuragena with great love she served him prashrayena means with a very meek and humble attitude. Dhamena, restraining her senses. See, if you are serving somebody, we need some restraint of the senses. Once, as well as Ramapada Maharaj had come to a temple, he was staying. So one Brahmachari was put for serving him, but this Brahmachari would go every 10 minutes and bat at the door. And Maharaj would open and say, Maharaj, what do you want? Maharaj would say, I don't want anything. If I want something, I will ask you. I have your phone number. You go and relax. I will ask you. But again and again he went. And then Maharaj told him, real meaning of service means you please the person whom you are serving by not disturbing him. He told him. So you require sense control to serve somebody. Because we need to know exactly what they are looking for. Accordingly we have to serve. Another meaning of sense control while serving means, if my master chastises me, I should not become morose. I should not back talk. I should not blaspheme about him. I should not stop serving him. If we don't have control of senses, we cannot do all these things. It's not possible. That means even after getting chastised, one is humble, meek. That requires sense control. Therefore, Dhamena cha is said. And Bhaktya, with great devotion, she served him. Paramaya. And then, Manognyair Valgubhashitaihi. She understood his mindset exactly, what all he wants. For example, he wanted hot water, she made hot water and gave. He wanted chill water, she brought chill water. He wanted the window open, she kept the window open. If he wanted to comfortably sleep, she made a very soft bed for him to sleep. If he liked a certain special sabji, regularly she made that sabji, whichever item. Or she knew what all items he likes the most, those items she cooked. And if he sat on an elevated posture, she would sit on a lower posture. And before he would ask her anything, like we say, til means tail. Before he would ask for tail, she would bring tail. So she was very quick in rendering service. Faithfully she served. Valgubhashitahi. And she also spoke sweet, sweet words. Exactly fitting his mind, the requirement. Therefore you find that some of the sales people speak like that. Very nicely, sweet words they speak. Have a good day, good morning. How is everything? So the way they talk, they are very endearing. Their goal is to empty your pocket. Similarly, here Diti is also behaving very sweetly with a certain goal in mind. And then Valgubhashitahi, sweet word she spoke. What purpose was what? Mano Jagraha, the word is used. She brought his mind under her control. Mano Jagraha, Bhavajnya, knowing his nature, she acted. Sasmita apanga vikshanaihi. She was always smiling at him. And she was always glancing with her sidelong glances while dealing with him. See, these are ways by which a woman can charm the heart of a man, by glancing at a man, smiling at a man. And the husband thought, oh, she is showing such wonderful symptoms of love for me. And he got sold out to that. I heard a joke. A wife dressed herself in a very beautiful sari. When husband came back, she smiled at him, glanced at him, and walked shyly. And husband said, told his wife, hey, come and sit in the jhula. By looking at you, I am feeling so happy. Come, what is the secret in your mind? Reveal to me. She said, I will reveal now, and took out a long list of items to be purchased, which was almost 3 lakh rupees. She said, this is what I was shyly wondering whether to show you or not. She said, then the husband came to ground level after that. So, therefore, sometimes when a husband sees such behavior of the wife, he gets charmed by her. And Kashyapa was no exception to that. So, now what happened? See, you can compare between Devahuti and Diti. Devahuti did all these things, but with no ill motivations at all. It's not that a wife shouldn't serve husband like this. If a wife serves the husband like this, she will occupy the heart of the husband. Even when the husband goes to office and other places, he will not forget the wife. And this is true for a guru and disciple also. Every guru wants faithful disciples, loyal disciples, hard-working disciples, dedicated disciples, committed disciples, sincere disciples. Similarly, every senior is looking for a committed junior, isn't it? So somebody on a younger position can win the heart of the superior by adopting all these qualities, provided we don't have any material motivations. If you have some ill motives or material motives, see, there's a difference between material motives and ill motives. Material motives means you want something to enjoy. Ill motive means you want to harm another. So what was her motive? Ill motivation. She wanted to hurt Indra. That was her desire. But Devahuti wasn't like this. Devahuti faithfully served Kardamuni. And she was completely pure-hearted. So she also rendered similar service. And then Kashyapa, read the translation, 29th one. Okay, we'll read the verse also. Evam striya jadi bhuto vidvan apimano jnaya bada mityaha vivasho na tat chitram hi yoshiti.
Although Kashyap Muni was a learned scholar, he was captivated by Diti's artificial behavior, which brought him under her control. Therefore, he assured his wife that he would fulfill her desires. Such a promise by a husband is not at all astonishing.
See, don't give any promise to anybody. That is the lesson you learn. Dasharatha gave some 2 promises to Kaikeyi, and she said that she will ask later. See, even if you give promise quickly, you fulfill it. Don't keep it for the future. Because future it may become a trouble. In several cases we hear it. Like, Duryodhana gave a benediction to Arjuna when Pandava saved him from Gandharvas. But then Arjuna said, I'll ask later. And then later he took those 5 arrows when Krishna told him to bring it, using that benediction. Same way, Kaikeyi got a benediction from Dasharatha. Dasharatha got into trouble because of that. Similarly, here also you find the husband is in a mood to give benedictions now. He is making a promise. Oh, my wife, you have won my heart. Whatever you want, I will give you. Go ahead. Tell me, what do you want? Like that, the husband, Kashyapa, captivated by her enchanting behavior, he promised her. So, therefore, generally, I tell the brahmacharis also, if you go to some place, some grihastha says, they are very inspired by you, they want to give a charity. You should be very frank to ask them how much is the budget. Because some grihastha say, Prabhuji, I am so pleased with you, I want to give you 500 rupees worth gift. Or somebody may want to give you 5,000 worth gift. You should not ask a person a gift beyond his capability. That is sin. One shouldn't ask. Imagine somebody can give you a 500 rupee gift. You ask him, can you give me a flight ticket? That would be sinful. Correct, no? One shouldn't ask like that. Therefore, I would tell them, never ask anyone anything. Allow them to give whatever they give. That is actually Brahmana means Brahmana and never demands anything. Similarly, here actually Kashyapa is thinking that he can give her any benediction. He is a husband, capable husband. The wife can ask for anything, he can provide. He is enchanted. But one should be careful before promising anyone anything. One should know one's capacity, and one should also be mindful of others' mindset and mentality. They may ask for something which we may not be able to give. So later on, Kashyapa is going to lament about this. Yeah, please read the 30th verse translation.
In the beginning of creation, Lord Brahma, the father of the living entities of the universe, saw that all the living entities were unattached. To increase population, he then created woman from the better half of man's body. For woman's behavior carries away a man's mind.
Yeah. So, Brahma created man and woman in the beginning. Actually, from Brahma's body, two bodies came out. Even without his knowledge, Swayambhava Manu and Shatrupa came out. Because in the dawn of creation, Supreme Lord Vishnu wanted to help Brahma by creating a male form and a female form, Swayambhava Manu and Shatrupa. And Brahma saw they both united and produced 5 children, Devahuti, Akuti, Prasuti, and Uttanapada and Priyavrat. So 5 children came. Then the population expanded after that, subsequently. So, but from that time, since the dawn of creation, the attraction between male and female has been there. And Prabhupada says, what is the root cause of this attraction, male-female attraction? The root cause is Radha and Krishna. Actually, Radha and Krishna are one. There is a verse which says, Radha Krishna pranaya vikritir hladini shaktirasmat ekatma navapi bhuvi pura deha bedam gatau tau chaitanyakyam prakatamadhuna tadvayam chaikyam aptam Radha bhava dyuti suvalitam naomi krishna swarupam. This is obtained from Swarup Damodar's Kadachi. From his diary, this verse in glorification of Radha Krishna as well as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The first 2 lines are about Radha Krishna. It says, Radha Krishna pranaya vikritir hladini shakti rasmat. Radha and Krishna actually ekatmanav, it says. Ekatma means they are only one. Api bhuvipura deha bhedam gatavtav. Bhedam means that one atma has become two, taking on the forms of Radha and Krishna. Why? Because the Supreme Lord thought that let me expand my enjoyment by expanding myself as Radharani and the tiny living entities. So then the next question you may have is, when was the time when Krishna expanded? The moment you ask the question when, then you are pulling Krishna into time factor. Krishna is beyond space and time. So therefore, as soon as there is a sun, there is a sun rays. Sun rays are all, and also sunlight, sun's heat, everything is there. Similarly, Krishna expands as Radharani and the tiny living entities, namely all of us, who are all minute samples of Krishna. But we have only minute freedom. Krishna has unlimited freedom. Krishna is supreme enjoyer. And we are only minute enjoyers who are dependent enjoyers on Krishna. So this is a tattva philosophy. So, because Radha and Krishna are one, they have become two. They have great attachment for each other in love, not in lust. In the material world, lust is very prominent because the tree is upside down in the material world. Like the mango in a tree, in the water it will look at the bottom portion. In the original tree, it will be in the top. What is the top will appear in the bottom. Similarly, the material world also, what is love in spiritual world comes as lust in the material world. So due to which man and woman are attracted to each other and they confuse lust with love. Actually, lust leads to man-woman union, which causes the production of children. Actually, sex life is nothing but a biological function for reproduction purpose. You all know a cow in a particular season screams because it's a season for the cow to mate with a bull. It's a biological function for the sake of reproduction. Whereas love has nothing to do with such kinds of lust because love is of the heart. And lust is of something else which everybody knows. Love is of the heart. Therefore, even on a Valentine's Day, people put a heart with an arrow. They know that love is there. Love is in the heart. So Radha and Krishna connection is in the hearts. It's a connection of hearts. And they are one person who is divided into two. And one has a female form and one has a masculine form. And they have a great mutual. Radha has devotion to Krishna. She is supreme personality of servitor Godhead, and Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, isn't it? He is a Shaktiman and she is Shakti. So their mutual attraction in this material world is pervertedly reflected as lust between men and women. Actually, all of us, we are neither man nor woman, we all are female only. In what sense? We are Prakriti. And Lord is Purusha. But one Prakriti cannot enjoy another Prakriti. Actually, males are also Prakriti here, females are also Prakriti. If a Prakriti and Prakriti try to enjoy energy and energy, they cannot enjoy actually. Energetic can enjoy energy. Who is energetic? Krishna. And who is energy? All of us. So Krishna can only enjoy all of us through our service. Seva is the madhyam, medium. So through that, Krishna's enjoyment is totally different. Actually, Krishna enjoys by serving the devotees. Like Krishna's enjoyment is riding the chariot of Arjuna. Whereas we think our enjoyment means exploiting others. We think like that. So Krishna enjoys us through our seva bhava, through all the jivas. So in this world, the man-woman attraction is very, very superficial, which exists in the young age. After one gets older, 70, 80, 90, the body falls apart after that. The superficial attractions go away. So therefore, Kashyapa is a very learned person, but at the same time, unless one is a learned devotee of the Lord, one cannot escape the enchantment of the opposite sex in this world. And even Kashyapa is no exception to that. Right from the dawn of creation, when Brahma created male-female forms, all jivas are madly attracted to each other. And they are suffering terribly because of this mutual attraction. Actually, this attraction is such that the attraction also causes them suffering. At the same time, they cannot give up each other also. This attraction is such a thing. If you give up, you feel hankering for it. If you are attracted, you suffer from it. The only way is to become transcendental, go beyond. You know, chant Hare Krishna and go back to Godhead. And arouse the attraction to Supreme Lord. So instead of attracted to my own romance with another girl, we should be attracted to Krishna's romance with Radharani and Gopis. When we are attracted to that romance of how Krishna blocks the way of Radharani and the Gopis by taking his catapult and hitting their buttermilk pots and taking away the buttermilk. So by reading that romance and enjoying the transcendental humor, we can forget our own romantic activities of this world. On the other hand, Kashyapa, Prabhupada elsewhere says he's an impersonalist, Prabhupada says that. And due to which he doesn't have the transcendental humor. He is attracted to his own romance with his wife and he is enchanted by her words. Now you will see what happens in the subsequent verses. When he goes in the 31st verse, read that.
Oh my dear one, the most powerful sage Kashyapa, being extremely pleased by the mild behavior of his wife Diti, smiled and spoke to her as follows.
See, her behavior is mild, but your sound should be more loud. You can make the sound... So he smiled, and what he spoke, he's telling. Sri Kashyapa Vacha. Varam varaya vamoru. Pritastehaman anandite. Striya bhartari suprite. Kakkama iha chagamaha. He's asking, varam varaya vamoru. He's telling that, ask me for any boon, oh beautiful woman. He's telling. He's saying that, Pritaste aham anandite. He is saying that I am completely pleased with you. Priteham. Pritaste aham. He is telling. And he is saying, Striya bhartari suprite. If a woman pleases her husband, Striya is a wife, bhartari is the husband. If a wife pleases the husband, then what happens? If husband is pleased, kakkama iha chagamaha. What is there in this world what a wife cannot get? He is telling. Therefore, you will see. One devotee gave a very beautiful example. I was stunned by that example. He said, if you go to any industry, you will find people working in lathe, in a milling machine, drilling machine, loud noises in the shop floor, you can see, especially in workshops and, like Bajaj Auto and such companies, automobile industries, big noise. They are those who are hard working. They are like karma yogis, he said. They are working hard with their senses. Then you go to the managers who are all sitting and supervising. They are supervisors. They are like jnana yogis, he said. Then he said, those who are like managing directors and top level of people, so they are like, he said, like ashtanga yogis. They are even more advanced, he said. And then he said, the bhakti yogis are like the wife of the owner, he said. Why? Because karma yogi gets, you know, some 5,000, 10,000 rupees. Yeah? And then jnana yogis, they get some 40,000, 50,000 rupees. Managing director may get from 2 lakh rupees per month or something. And the owner who comes to the company, he just comes for, in fact, karma yogi people, they work all day. You know, the people working in machine. And the manager comes probably half the day. You know, little more than half the day he may come. And the managing director may come for few hours and then still he's traveling around and running things on phone. But the owner just comes for a half an hour. Comes to the company only to count the notes and take it, put them in the pocket and go. But when he goes home, he goes and gives the wife all the money he has brought from the company. And the wife doesn't even know the name of the company also. But she knows one thing, how to please her husband. So bhakti yogis are like that, he said. Bhakti yogis may not know about the industry of Krishna, which is the complicated material world, Sankhya, all those things devotees may not know. But they know one thing. Anything you do, Krishna, Krishna, bolne ka bas. You know, you have to offer prasad, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You have to eat prasad, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Isn't it? You have to chant the holy name, that is also Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna only. For everything, they say Krishna's name and go on. A wife who is so chaste, you know, she wins the husband. Similarly, devotees who are chaste to Krishna, they win Krishna. So they are like bhakta yogis. So, therefore he's saying, who is the wife who has pleased the husband and what she cannot get? Everything she can get. Patireva hi nārīṇām daivatam paramam smṛtam manasas sarva bhūtānām vāsudeva śriyah patih sa eva devatā lingai nāmarūpa vikalpitaih yujyate bhagavān pundih Srivishcha Patiru Padrak. She's saying, Patiravi Narinam, for the woman, Daivatam Paramam Spritam. For the woman, husband is like God. Of course, if you say this loudly, you can be unpopular nowadays. Because the husband actually has to be very qualified for a wife to treat him like God. Like we say, mother, father should be treated like God also. But unfortunately, modern day mother and father, you know, their minds are focused on seeing the son getting into IIT and going abroad and making a big money, and they themselves are watching movie, putting party, kitty parties. So how can the children see them like a god? For children to see mother and father as God, they have to be godly. Similarly, for a husband to be treated as God by the wife, husband has to be very godly, saintly and godly. Like Sita could see Lord Rama like that. And then he's saying, Manasa Sarvabhutana Vasudeva Shriyapatihi. Actually, Lord Vasudeva is seated in the heart of all living beings. And for a wife, husband is like Lord Vasudeva. Sayeva Devata. So in this way, he is glorifying husband and wife's relation to the husband in this verse. And then he's telling in the subsequent verses also that you should, you know, your wife... Wife should be chaste and abide by the orders of the husband and all that. And then 36th verse translation, you see, says, because you worship me with great devotion, considering me a representative of God, I shall reward you by fulfilling your desires, which are unobtainable for an unchaste wife. I can give you anything, he is saying. Now Diti is going to ask. Diti ruvacha. Varado yadi me brahman. Putram indrahanam vrine. Amrityam mrita putraham yena me ghatitau sutau yena me ghatitau sutau. Yeah, read it.
Diti replied, O my husband, O great soul, I have now lost my sons. If you want to give me a benediction, I ask you for an immortal son who can kill Indra. I pray for this because Indra, with the help of Vishnu, has killed my two sons, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu.
Nishamyatat vacho vipro vimana paryatapyata aho adharma sumahan adyame samupastitah. See, Nishamya, when he heard that, what happened? Tadvachaha, those sharp words of Diti, when he heard it, Vipra, for the Kashyapa, what happened? Vimanaha, he became sad. Alas, what kind of boon my wife is asking? And he pariyatapyata, tapyata. Actually, he cried, he lamented. She is asking for an impossibility. Indra is so dear to Lord Vishnu, and she wants to kill him. So he became very sad. Aho, he's saying, alas, adharma sumahan. He's saying that she wants an impious desire. She's asking for something which should not be asked. So this is a vinashakal. Vinashakale, viparita buddhi visaya. Alas, I have given her a word already that whatever you ask, I'll give you. But she's asking for something which shouldn't be asked, so that which is prohibited. Adhyame sampasasa, a great terrible crisis has come upon me, a difficult situation has come upon me, because now I am facing the danger of an impious act of killing Indra. She has put me in trouble. Like that, he is lamenting now. See, if we also are careless in giving benediction to anybody, then we will be put in the same situation. Therefore, before making promises, think twice. And once given promises, don't revert back. You have to stick to your promises. So therefore, in case you gave a promise and you got into trouble, then you have to find out how to carefully escape also. For example, I agreed for some particular service. So one day somebody called me for a festival in the home. I agreed. Now suddenly I have something else which has come up and I can't go. Then I have to get a very good substitute. Correct, no? Like once, we fixed Gauranga Prabhu to go somewhere. Suddenly Gauranga Prabhu backed out last minute. He had to go for some another program. And if you tell those people Gauranga Prabhu is not coming, they would be wild. No, you have to bring him at any cost. You promised and we have put posters, we have called this and that. Then he told him, don't worry, Gauranga Prabhu is not coming, you are getting Gauru Gopal Prabhu. Then they are very happy. Okay, no problem. You have to give a very capable substitute also. If you are giving. So, if you are given a promise, you cannot go back. Correct, no? So now also here, he got into trouble. He had given them a promise, given her a promise. Now he's wondering what to do. Aho Artendriya Ramo Yoshin Mayeha Mayaya Grihita Cheta Kripanaha Patishye Narake Dhruvam. Translation.
Kashyapa Muni thought, alas, I have now become too attached to material enjoyment. Taking advantage of this, my mind has been attracted by the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of a woman, my wife. Therefore, I am surely a wretched person who will glide down towards hell.
See, now Kashyapa, he has understood that he committed a mistake. Due to material attachment, I became blinded. Due to that blindedness, I gave a benediction without thinking what it is going to be. And now I have put myself into a crisis situation. Sometimes we give big words, no? Later on we lament. Sometimes in a joyful mood we give some promises, but later we realize, like sometimes we take a vow, no? I will collect so much money, because everybody else is raising hand, you also raise hand. And somebody says, I will collect 5 lakh, you say, I will collect 50 lakhs. And then you realize, my Lord, it is too much. Similarly, one time I was asking a question, we have so much need of, hosts who can host a program in their house for Bhagavatam study circle. Who all are ready to host? So, of course, I saw some men very enthusiastically raised hand. Some men were half raising hand, looking at Mataji's side, because they wanted to check whether wife will raise the other half of the hand. Some men were not raising hand, like this they were, and looking at the wife, what wife will say. And when wife raised hand, then they raised hand. Because in a home, you need the consent of the wife also. Correct, no? You can't independently make a decision. Because she will say that you want to study Bhagavatam, but who will cook the prasad? Hmm? Otherwise, I will sit in Bhagavatam, you go and cook, she will say, correct? Huh? So, therefore, you will see that when you make a promise, you have to think twice before making any promise. But he made a promise suddenly. And now, therefore, he is lamenting now. So, he is saying that my wife, who is like a personification of illusory energy, she has actually tricked me by her good behavior. I am a wretched person. He is lamenting now, what to do. And then he is telling in the next verse, 40th verse. Kotikramonuvartyantaha Svabhavamiha Yoshitaha Dhingmam Bata Budam Swarthe Yadaham Tvajitendriyaha.
This woman, my wife, has adopted a means that follows her nature, and therefore she is not to be blamed. But I am a man, therefore all condemnation upon me. I am not at all conversant with what is good for me, since I could not control my senses.
Yeah. See, you know, whenever I speak on Bhagavatam, I speak in following in the line of Srila Prabhupada. So I request Mataji not to get offended. Whatever Prabhupada says in the purport, I elaborate the same based on whatever Prabhupada says in other places. When Matajis hear these type of sections, what they should think, there are certain natures that come with the womanly body. There are certain natures that come with the masculine body, male's body. For example, for a male, ego is very prominent. Ego is very prominent. Prabhupada says, if a wife is tampering with the ego of the husband, then the husband becomes like an untethered bull in a china clay shop, Prabhupada says. Like, imagine if you let a bull inside a china clay shop, you just dust like this and all the china clay falls on the ground and breaks. Similarly, if a wife inserts the ego of the husband, then the husband gets so wild and he will create a mess at home for himself, for wife, for all relatives. It becomes... Therefore, wife should be very careful not to tamper with the ego of the husband. In the same manner, the wife has certain natures which are explained here. Sometimes women who are conditioned, this is not talking about devotee women or pure devotee women who are actually advancing in spiritual life. But women in general, their psychophysical nature makes them be very talkative, gossip, or do rumor mongering, or speak sweetly and cunningly demand things which they want, or speak sweetly to somebody to get what they want. These type of natures are conditioned nature. Just like I told you, man has a ego problem, woman has their problem also. But no woman should hear these things and say, why are the Shastra saying this? Condemn the Shastra. Like some women are saying nowadays. Actually, Shastras are saying frank truths. One has to actually be honest in accepting that. Like men have rational intelligence, women have emotional intelligence. Therefore, you will see women are very good in dealing with small children, up to the age of 7. Women can deal very nicely. For men, it is very difficult. Like once I saw in Kunjibari temple on the stage, all the children were all standing. Along with them, the teachers were standing. So the teachers taught them rhymes. And the women were reciting the rhymes and teachers were reciting with them. So the women and children go together very well. They can match very well. On the other hand, when a boy grows beyond 10, 12, his logic avenue opens, then male teachers do very well for him because he starts asking rational questions. Prior to that, a woman teacher is better for a child earlier than that. So, it's not that women are not intelligent. They are emotionally intelligent. Men are rationally intelligent. Each one has their strength and they have their weaknesses. And one should understand the weaknesses and rise above it. For example, male people should be cautious about their ego, not to bring their ego unnecessarily. If you bring the ego, then team cannot work together. They should put aside their ego and learn interdependence. Similarly, women should know their lower nature. Their lower nature is, actually you can read Mahabharata, conversation between Draupadi and Satyabhama, when they were in Kamyakavan. There is a beautiful conversation where Draupadi very nicely reveals the natures of women and how women should take care. So here one of the natures is said here that that a woman, for attaining her materialistic pursuits, she sometimes does a drama or speaks very sweetly, and in this way they attain their goals very easily. And then immediately he is saying, but she is not to be blamed. I can't blame her. Like you can see a child sometimes, you know, like child like Damodar, he may go around his father and papa, 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 he may go and sit on his lap, he may talk for some time and then say, you know, now I want that particular toy. So same thing woman may also do, similar thing, like that he is saying. But ultimately the father should understand that I can't blame the child because I promised him I have to give it now, correct? No? Like that Kashyapa is saying, she has her sweet, so-called sweet nature, with which she has trapped me. But now I can't blame her. I am a man. All condemnation upon me, he's saying. Dikmam, he's telling. Patabudam. Alas, I am abudam. I am not intelligent. I am not conversant with what is good for me. Since I could not control my senses. Read the purport. Purport is very important.
The natural instinct of a woman is to enjoy the material world. She induces her husband to enjoy this world by satisfying his tongue, belly and genitals, which are called jihva, udara and upastha. A woman is expert in cooking palatable dishes so that she can easily satisfy her husband.
In eating.
When one eats nicely, his belly is satisfied, and as soon as the belly is satisfied, the genitals become strong. Especially when a man is accustomed to eating meat and drinking wine and similar passionate things, he certainly becomes sexually inclined. It should be understood that sexual inclinations are meant not for spiritual progress, but for gliding down to hell. Thus, Kashyapa Muni considered his situation and lamented. In other words, to be a householder is very risky unless one is trained and the wife is a follower of her husband. A husband should be trained at the very beginning of his life. Kaumara acharet pragnyo dharman bhagavatam iha. During the time of brahmacharya or student life, a brahmachari should be taught to be expert in bhagavata dharma, devotional service. Then when he marries, if his wife is faithful to her husband and follows him in such life, the relationship between husband and wife is very desirable. However, a relationship between husband and wife without spiritual consciousness but strictly for sense gratification is not at all good. It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam that especially in this age, Kali Yuga, that dampatye abhirichur hetu, the relationship between husband and wife will be based on sexual power. Therefore, householder life in this Kali Yuga is extremely dangerous unless both the wife and husband take to Krishna consciousness.
Yeah. So, here husband Kashyapa is weak-minded and wife is envious of somebody. Correct? Now, is it a good match? Dangerous match. Because she is envious to kill Indra and husband is also weak-minded. So, she is putting up a drama of love, speaking sweet words and demanding a child to kill Indra. So, imagine if he also gave her a seed and they both begot a son to kill Indra, Lord Vishnu is going to be displeased with them. And Kashyapa as a rishi knows that he exists only to please Vishnu. Then if he doesn't please Vishnu, then the goal of the dampatis, husband and wife, is not ultimately achieved. And that is due to his material attachment and wife's cunning nature, both. Correct, no? Therefore he lamented. Sharat padmotsavam vaktram vachascha shravanamritam hridayam kshuradarabham strinam ko veda cheshtitam.
A woman's face is as attractive and beautiful as a blossoming lotus flower during autumn. Her words are very sweet and they give pleasure to the ear. But if we study a woman's heart, we can understand it to be very extremely sharp, like the blade of a razor. In these circumstances, who could understand the dealings of a woman?
So four words are used. Lotus face, sweet words, razor sharp, cruel hearts. Four things are said. Face is like lotus face. Words are sweet words. And razor sharp, cruel hearts, he's saying. Actually, where do you see this? Kaikeyi, for example. Kaikeyi was taught by Mantra. Mantra told Kaikeyi, you go to the sulking chamber, the anger chamber, where you untie your hair and lie on the ground. When Dasharatha would come, do not entertain him. Like that she told. He will come, first he will ask you, why you have removed all your ornaments? Why are you lying on the ground, Kaikeyi? Because Kaikeyi was the most beautiful amongst the three wives of Dasharatha. So Dasharatha had attachment for her. He will certainly come there. But Mantra told her, don't talk one word to him, because you have to weaken him more and more before you can attack him. So you keep mum, don't speak, just keep weeping. And then Dasharatha should say, whatever you ask, Kaikeyi, I will give you. Come on, why are you so morose? Why are you weeping? Then at that time you remind him of the two boons, and don't melt no matter how much he cries. You should melt him by your crying, but you should not melt by his crying. You have to be adamant. And Kaikeyi perfectly fulfilled those orders of Mantra. So she behaved like a very hard-hearted lady. Even Dasharatha said, if Bharat wants to be the king, you make him king, but why do you want to send Ram to forest? Ram is my pran, he's my very life itself. She said, nothing doing. If Ram is around, all the public will be disturbed. They will say, Ram is around, why he can't be the king? He has to go to jungle 14 years. So she was very strongly adamant. So adamant that Dasharatha had to give up his life. So she had a very hard heart, like this example says here. Similarly, you find Urvashi's behavior with Pururava also. You find that. Actually, this is talking about mundane woman, materialistic woman, whose goal is only material enjoyment. See, man-woman psychology is made in such a way that woman wants facilities, man needs engagement. If you don't give these two people these two things, they are going to go berserk. Like a woman, for example, she requires a nice house to live, nice vehicles, nice facilities in the house, nice ornaments to wear, nice sari, nice clean, nice tasty food, and children to raise, and she has enough circles for her to mix with her friends. So when these things are there, a woman is completely peaceful. So one husband asked me, Prabhuji, should I take a house in Hinjawadi or should I take a house here? I said, see, the decision is yours. He said, I have my mother, father, wife and two children, you know. So if I keep them in Hinjawadi, my company is near. From there it is 10 minutes from Hinjawadi. But if I come here, I have to travel every day 1 hour. So then I told him, my logic is, if your mother, father, wife, children are all here, they will get us congregation to associate with. Then they will not give you any headache, I told them. They will distribute the headache to others. Your only headache is travel. You have to go from here to company 1 hour up, 1 hour down. And during that time also you can hear Maharaj's lecture. I told him. He agreed. Now after 6 months he met me and said, thank you Prabhuji, your advice was perfect. He said, because when I was in Hinjawadi, when I would come back in the evening, everybody will climb on my head. They would do this. Now they have no time, everybody is busy, and I get ample of time, and now my hearing has increased also, he said. You appreciate my logic? So it's a very thoughtful logic, isn't it? Because women, if you give them the facilities, they have their association, they will be peaceful. And the man requires engagement. If a man is jobless, his mind will become a criminal mind. He will want to do. Therefore it happened in India, when the tractors came, the men lost their work in the field. They started playing cards, they started drinking, smoking, they started having illicit connection with other men's wives, and all over India there were problems. Men should never be without engagement. Whether you are a brahmachari or a grihastha, we all need engagements. So similarly, woman requires facilities. So here, a woman, in order to get the facility, she will do a lot of drama to the husband. She may do a lot of, just like you find here. She wants a son to kill Indra. She has become envious now. So therefore Prabhupada is saying this about the nature of woman. Actually, devotee woman cannot be like this. Devotee woman, actually, there are many devotee women who are more detached than man also. If one becomes advanced devotee, they become very pure-hearted. And then you cannot make much difference between a man and woman once they become spiritually advanced. These are all talking about conditioned women. And then he is saying, in this way he goes on telling about, you know, he is saying that sometimes women even can kill others for attaining, acquiring their own vows. Like for example, because of Kritadyuti's co-wives, Harshaka was killed. Is it not true? Like that, there are examples in the history of people. Somebody can even be killed for in order to satisfy their own desire. So he is actually talking, contemplating in his mind. See in the verse number 43, Pratishrutam dadamiti vachastannam risha bhavet vadham narhati chendropi tatredam upakalpate. Yeah.
I promise to give her a benediction, and this promise cannot be violated. But Indra does not deserve to be killed. In these circumstances, the solution I have is quite suitable.
See, the beauty of the Srimad Bhagavatam is, it can help you obtain solutions to the most complex situations in life. Here are two situations. I have given a benediction to my wife. I can't go back in my words. Correct, no? At the same time, she wants a son to kill Indra, and Indra cannot be killed, Vishnu will be displeased. So damned if you do, damned if you don't, we say now. Like it's like you are caught between devil and deep sea, as we say. If I go this side, I cannot break my promise to wife. If I go this side, Vishnu will be displeased if I kill Indra. So what to do? Yeah, you call it as a what? Catch 22 situation, they call it, isn't it? You can't do this, you can't do that. What to do? Therefore, we should study Bhagavatam. Regularly when you study Bhagavatam, even in your practical life, you will get ideas on how to solve impossible problems. Impossible to solve problems. Now you will see how Kashyapa solves it. Read the purport.
Kashyapa Muni concluded, Diti is eager to have a son who can kill Indra.
Since why Mike is not loud enough? It could be more louder.
Since she is a woman after all and is not very intelligent, I shall train her in such a way that instead of always thinking of how to kill Indra, she will become a Vaishnava, a devotee of Krishna. If she agrees to follow the rules and regulations of the Vaishnava principles, the unclean core of her heart will certainly be cleansed. Cheto darpanam arjanam. This is the process of devotional service.
Now here is the solution that Kashyapa came up with. What he thought, I can't displease Vishnu by killing Indra. And what can I do with my wife? He thought that if her heart becomes cleaned of her desire, that Ashubhamati, or unclean or malice in her heart is cleansed, then she will give up a desire to kill Indra. So I will do, I will adopt a technique of giving a devotional service, Pumsavana Vrata, by practicing which gradually her heart will become cleansed. And as the heart becomes cleansed, her desire to kill Indra will go away. In this way I can see here, we learn a very, very vital lesson here. If you have a subordinate, you are a counselor or you are a senior, you find that subordinate has certain impurities in the heart. If you call the subordinate and tell them directly, you know, then that will lead to rejection. They may even become upset with the counselor. They may even become angry with the counselor. Sometimes they think that counselor is envious of me. They are pointing out my defect. So sometimes it becomes very difficult, not for very new people, but those who are little grown up. So it's very difficult for anyone to point them out after they grow up to a certain extent. Therefore, those who are spiritual masters, from the early days, those who are given time, association, good instructions to a disciple, when they have grown them up to a certain stage, they know the art of how to help them. How to bring them out of a danger zone. Like in Pune Kunjibari temple, I saw, you know, they call the rats, the big rats as goose they call. You have seen goose? The goose is so big, even the cats are afraid. On that day when I went to the temple, I saw goose came running out from a hole and the cat was running away. As if the cat is afraid, goose is going to bite me. Similarly, when the disciple's impurity in the heart becomes bigger and bigger, even the guru cannot correct a disciple. Guru is afraid. If I correct, he will become upset. Like that. Even guru sometimes feels, how can we correct this fellow? Or seniors may feel, how can junior be corrected? Because junior has grown up in number of years and they may have fear to correct them like that. So then the correction method is different. What they will do, they will put this person in touch with another wonderful pure-hearted devotee and give him association, and by that association they may help him to come to grip with senses that, oh, I am impure, I am doing this. Gradually, you know, detect their own faults. Or give them a very intense devotional program by doing which they may rise above. Because that they may take to, if you give them, do this positive thing, it's a positive thing. Because when you do devotion service very intensely, the impurities come out. They stand out and you can detect them, you can put a torch light over them. Clearly you can see, these are impurities in my heart, I have to remove. And we become very humble also by doing intense devotion service. And then we go to Guru and say, now you can do anything with me, I am your servant. You can clean my heart, you can slap me, beat me, pinch me, whip me, whatever. We become ready and then our anartha can be removed. So that's what Kashyapa is going to do with her. He's going to give her a devotional program by adopting which her whole mindset will change. She will lose the propensity to want to kill Indra, which is a very amazing thing. So this will require discussion, which will come in the following verses. We have finished almost 43 verses today, which is not an ordinary thing. Of course, the first 20 verses are names only. The next 25 verses we have finished. So we will need one more class to complete the second part of this chapter, because we will need some discussions about Kashyapa Diti interaction and Diti Indra interaction. So both will come in the second half of the chapter. And next Krishna Rasayanam class we will complete it. And there will be a lot of lessons to learn about enmity and envy, both. We will learn about them, it's very important. But the answer is revealed in this purport. That only by becoming a Vaishnava we can transcend envy. We can transcend enmity. So actually we all have to be very careful in our stage, because we are not yet pure devotees. So whether we are seniors or we are juniors, we all have some impurities in our heart, due to which we don't know how to deal with people having impurities who are in our custody. I will tell you an example. There was a leader A, and he had a subordinate B. Now there was an equal to B who was C. You understand, no? A is here, B and C are here. Correct, no? Now, you know, once B went to C, you know, B went to C and had some interaction, and B was very unhappy with C. C is dealing. That means they both are equal, correct, no? They both are equal friends. And then B went and came and told A that actually I am very disturbed by C's behavior. Correct, no? So then A is like a father and mother of both B and C, correct, no? And supposed to solve the problem. So A said, don't worry, I am very sad to see you so disturbed, don't worry. Then A called C and chastised C. A said, see, no, how can you deal with B like this? B is upcoming devotee and you are already 2 years older than B, and older than B. C is older than B. So now C got very disturbed. That I am being chastised. Because of whom? Because of B. So then C went to B and said, hey, why did you complain to A about me? Correct, no? You know, so A chastised me so badly. You know, did I do something so bad? Like that, C went and argued with B. Now B got very disturbed. B said, no. I never told so bad about you. I told only this much only. And what you received was this much. And that is not my fault, Prabhu. Please leave me, Prabhu. And B was telling, be friendly with me, Prabhu. C said, no, enough is enough. I don't want to be friends with you anymore. Like that, C said. So now B got very disturbed with whom? With A. Because A has spoken to C. Now B went to wage a war against A. And then B told A, hey, A, what have you done? I had a very sweet relationship with C. You spoiled my relationship with C. Why did you do like that? Then A called C and said, hey, C, continue to have your relationship with B. You should not give up. Then again C became angry with B. He went to B. Hey, I don't want to have a relation with you, but why did you go and tell A? You know, you should not tell. I will not have relation also, and you should not complain also. Okay? He said. B said, no, now I will not complain anything to anyone. You know, you leave me alone, B said. And B told, yeah, now I want to be alone. I want to bolt my door and do my reading, chanting peacefully. And A said, no, 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 if you are alone, you are a Mayavadi. You know, you have to associate with Vaishnavas. You have to associate with. Now B said, yes, I will associate with Vaishnavas, but not with you. Because you are dealing like this. So in this way you will find, these devotees told me that this A-B-C relationship, all three of them met me alone. One by one they met me. That is how I know the whole situation. Then they asked me what to do. I told all three of them, all three of you come together and read Bhagavatam. I told them. Nashtaprayeshu abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatyuttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. See, I thought that this happened in one particular temple, they told me. Then in my travels I went to another temple, there the same problem has happened. Amazing, no? There also ABC, all three came to me. Then I understood this situation is there all over the world, everywhere. Now what happened, A is also not pure fully, B is also not pure, C is also not pure. In a not so pure stage, we should not waste too much time talking to each other and trying to solve the problem. See, trying to solve the problem of this world is like taking a funkni, you know funkni, and blowing on the smoke. If you blow on the smoke, smoke only will spread in the room and everybody will shout at you, because you become spreader of the smoke. Whereas you should put the funkni where? If you put straight in the fire, blow in the fire, when fire becomes big, then smoke will be gone. And putting the fungi in the fire means studying Bhagavata, or increasing the spiritual consciousness. So the more we increase spiritual consciousness, the smoke of problems of this world will be gone. That's the secret actually. So next time I went to the yatra, I asked, how is everything? They said, Prabhu, everything is peaceful. They said, now we come, we never talk about problems. We only talk Bhagavatam. And then we study about Diti, Kashyapa, Vishnu, everything. By reading their character, we learned what we should not do. A told me one thing when I met A. A said that, Prabhu, Kashyapa had a subordinate like Diti who had so many impurities in her heart, enviousness. Still, Kashyapa did not drive her away. He accommodated her and gave her some devotional service to purify her heart. So this I understood, that although B and C are quarreling, but I should learn to help them rather than, you know, become angry at them or drive them away. Like that he said. Therefore, study of Bhagavatam can practically help us in our everyday life situation. It can teach us sublime qualities of humility, tolerance, respect, flexibility, accommodating nature. So many things we will learn from Srimad Bhagavatam.